Welcome to the Transform Your Nutrition podcast with your hosts, Rebecca Heald and Jeff Ash. Rebecca and Jeff are nutritionists with a heart and passion for helping individuals and families, that is adults, teens, and even children, transform their relationships with food to develop healthy bodies, minds, and attitudes without restriction, guilt, or shame.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. So I'm really, really pleased that we've decided to start this podcast, because I think we've both got such a huge interest in nutrition and in particular children's nutrition. So really, really great to get this started. But I think maybe we should start by giving ourselves a little introduction so everybody knows who we are and where we're coming from.
Definitely. I think that would be highly appropriate.
Yeah, definitely. Do you want to kick off then, Jeff?
Sure. So my name's Jeff Ash, and I have a nutrition and personal training online coaching business called Hope Drives Me. And I focus most of my attention on just helping people establish healthy eating habits and understanding nutrition. And in particular, as Rebecca said, I'm very interested in helping families with their nutrition as it relates to their kids, and kind of whole family nutrition. So finding ways to not only help improve your own health and nutrition, but to do so in such a way that's going to also carry over into your children and the rest of your family in a healthy way, overall healthy, because there's so many different ways that we can approach nutrition, and there's so many pitfalls, I think, that can pop up. And so we have, you know, this diet culture that so many of us have been or are wrapped up in, where food is demonized, and where there's good and bad around food, and all of those things can carry over into problematic thinking from the perspective of our children. And so I like to try and find ways that will help the whole family work together kind of as a team to help improve their overall health and nutrition and enjoyment of life and physical activity and eating and all of those kinds of things. So that's kind of where I like to focus my attention. So I'm a MNU certified nutritionist, and so that's actually where Rebecca and I met, was through our nutrition training together. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thank you. So yeah, you've already just told everybody there that obviously I'm an MNU certified nutritionist as yourself. And before I go on to talking a little bit about myself, because obviously it does feed into what you said, I think there's just that point you made there about supporting family nutrition in the home. I think it's so valuable for two main reasons. One is, many of the clients that I work with, much of their motivation comes from, you know, being the best parent they can be and providing the best environment they can for their children. So it's really, really important to them in terms of their motivation, etc. But also as well, I think it's so important in terms of prevention. You know, I'm working with so many people that are, you know, quite messed up about their diets because of the messages that they've heard growing up from their family, from society, from diet culture, like you said. And so I think if we can encourage children to become much more confident, intuitive eaters that trust and, you know, are comfortable in their own bodies, then, you know, hopefully further down the line, we're going to be out of a job, Jeff, because
exactly.
Everybody's going to have a healthy relationship with food. So yeah, I guess that's one of the reasons that I'm here today as well, is because I'm so passionate about that. But anyway, yeah, my name is Rebecca Heald. My business is Transformational Nutrition. Okay, so I am an evidence-based nutrition coach, much like Jeff. Second career, I was actually started out as a teacher, hence also why I'm quite passionate about children and educating. But now I obviously work as a nutritionist, and I predominantly do work with one-to-one with clients, although I am looking more towards doing group stuff and online stuff so that I can reach more people. But I work with people on improving their relationships with food. So most of the people that I work with, they are directors, business owners that have really let things slip in terms of their nutrition, and they've developed quite unhealthy behaviors and habits around food. So it's about unpicking that so that they can get rid of diet culture and be the best version of themselves. Okay, so that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, fantastic.
I guess then, Jeff, we have decided today that we wanted to specifically talk about children and desserts.
Yes.
So should we get in there and get on with it?
That sounds great. And just so we kind of introduce what we're going to be doing with this podcast, we're going to be addressing kind of a question like this regularly. And so I think this will be a great format to pick a topic, address it kind of from a focused perspective on that single topic. And we're hopeful in that these things will be very practical and useful, things that you can apply to right away. So it's not theoretical, hypothetical stuff, real world things that are questions that are coming from real parents with regard to their children's nutrition, but also their own. And so what is our question for today?
So, and I asked this recently, actually, on my social media, would you allow your child to have dessert before or with their dinner?
Yep, that is a great question and a very common question, I think, too. And actually, I think some parents would not even think about it. They would just assume, no, you always have dessert afterward, because that's kind of how a lot of us were raised.
Exactly. Yeah. And I guess, it is all very individual, of course. But I guess I think the question that we need to kind of answer is, what would be the benefits, I suppose, of allowing your child to have their dessert with their dinner or before? Now, I myself, and this is another reason, of course, that I am so passionate and interested in children's nutrition, is I'm a mother of two young boys, 9 and 7. Six, actually. He's 7 in 2 weeks. Sorry. So it is something, obviously, that I'm practicing every day. And of course, you've got children now as well. You have, not now, you've always had children, but I know they're a bit older now, aren't they?
Yes, so, they are almost 23 and 25. So
is this something that you would have done, or you did do, with your own children?
That is a really good question, because now, knowing and understanding nutrition a lot more, and understanding the implications of different approaches, the mindset more, those kinds of things, I would have approached my kids completely different. I often think about how I would love to rewind and redo everything from the beginning, because when my kids were growing up, our eating patterns were very, it was a mess, to just put it bluntly. And so, so me now, what I'm doing often is looking back on where things were wrong or where things could have been changed, and the impact that different decisions that were made when my kids were growing up. And I can see those now in their various eating habits and food preferences and those kinds of things. And so we're actually coming at it from a little bit different perspective. You're starting out with them young, which is great. Yes. I'm looking back on mine. And so as far as dessert, I would say that we always did have dessert afterward. And I think that was just sort of a normal kind of a thing. It wasn't something I consciously even thought about. I never considered whether that was the right approach or whether it would even matter. It's just that when I grew up, we ate dinner and then we ate dessert. Now, I will say that what was interesting in the way that my mom raised us was, her mom was actually a home ec teacher back in the, in the 50s. And so she, interestingly enough, promoted a way of eating that was very intuitive and left up to the child to decide how much they wanted to eat, what they wanted to eat of each thing that was offered. And it was served family style, and there was no pressure around food. Dessert just happened to be at the end. It wasn't because it was viewed as a reward or anything like that. It happened to be done at the end. And so anyway, I think that's one way we can look at it. Having dessert at the end is perfectly fine. And one way to go. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's about, what are the benefits of doing it? And mm-hmm. I think there's a couple of things that really strike me. And, it's very normal and appropriate for children, because, my children will often beg me for some sweets or some biscuits before dinner. And it's very normal and appropriate for children and adults alike to desire sweets before any other type of food. Okay. So I think there were the two main benefits to, I guess, serving the sweets with the dinner before, either alongside or before, is that very often it almost takes away that kind of, what's the word? The pull of the dessert, let's say, okay? Because very often what children will do is that they know that they enjoy and they want sweet things, okay? But they also know, like we do, that we need to eat other things to fulfill us and keep ourselves satisfied. But if we, you know, sometimes almost allowing children to have their sweet before or with their dinner, it's also giving them the rest of the meal the same kind of value, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because
yeah, it does. It takes away the demonization or the putting dessert on a pedestal, I guess. You know, sometimes we think of dessert as the bad food. So we got to eat the good food first before we get to eat the bad food. And that category, that dichotomy or that separation of the value of the food or the moral value of the foods or the type of food can be a problem.
Yeah. And the thing is that, you know, we can actually be, I suppose as parents, we can be responsive to this natural desire to want a sweet food while also kind of taming it through structure. Because actually, I mean, what I find is that children will always find room for dessert. Okay.
Yeah,
they
definitely
will, whether how full they are. But actually, by allowing them to have food before or with their dinner, we're often allowing them to self-regulate better. Because, you know, if we are forcing children to finish what's on their plate or even eat when they're not really hungry, we are almost taking away that intuition. Okay.
Yep.
So we're encouraging children to eat beyond their fullness just so that they can get that sweet or that dessert, because we've always got room for dessert. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the thing is as well, is what is the point? If your child isn't hungry, okay, then what is the point in trying to force them to eat two or three spoons of a dinner, okay, to then eat dessert that they would always eat anyway?
Right.
Whereas if they're hungry enough, they will eat the dessert, and then they will also go on to eat the dinner, and it would have just as much value as the sweet. Does that make sense?
Exactly. And that comes down to portion size. So
for
a dessert, you wouldn't give them a giant piece of cake before dinner. You might give them a reasonable, smaller portion so that they can enjoy thoroughly, which is going to save room for dessert. And if you're planning out their meals and feeding times in such a way that they're going into each meal feeling somewhat hungry, a small piece of cake or ice cream or something is not going to fill them up. They're going to have room for that dinner. But as you were saying, you know, it is very common for parents to focus on an arbitrary amount of food that we think our child should eat at that meal. And if they don't eat that amount, then we assume that they need to eat more. And it may be that they don't need more. And so all we're doing is kind of setting them up to learn how to overeat by feeling like they need to eat a certain amount of food based on some arbitrary standard that's not based on their internal hunger, their internal cues and their body's desire for food. We're forcing them to eat a certain amount. And then it just really does set them up long term for struggling with managing their food intake intuitively.
Yeah. And that's it. And I think that's a really good point that you made there that I did want to make about dessert is meant to be a small treat, because somebody did comment on one of my posts saying, I wouldn't let my child have dessert before dinner because they would just then want more dessert and wouldn't eat their dinner. But no, your responsibility as a parent is to provide that structure and to make sure that, you know, dessert is not a free for all. Dessert should never be a free for all. Dessert is meant to be a small treat. Now, I am not saying that you shouldn't serve sweets or treats unlimited from time to time. You should. I do with my children. But you would do that at a snack time. Okay. It's much better at snack time so that there's no other competition from other foods. You know, if you are giving your child, you know, huge portions of dessert, then of course it's going to prioritize over other foods. But if we're allowing them just a small treat, then it's not going to interfere with what will then be, you know, a nutritious and a wholesome meal. And I think One of the other things that I really did want to point out as well is that I think if you are going to apply this, it's really, really important to actually think about the structure of meal times and snacks in your household. So going back to the whole division of responsibility, okay, in that, you know, as parents, we are responsible for when and what we provide our children. So we provide the structure. So we provide, you know, the way it works in our house is we have breakfast, we have morning snack, we have lunch, we have mid-afternoon snack, we have dinner, and then we would have supper, okay? Now, my children know that at any point during the any point in between those periods during the day, I'm not going to allow them to have food. They've got to have food at those set points. But then during, at each scheduled meal or snack, they can eat as much as they want until they're satisfied, if that makes sense. So they can eat, you know, at snack times, they can eat as much as they want, etc., so that they know that when they or have got the opportunity to eat, they need to be able to eat until they're satisfied and then wait until the next meal or snack time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's an important thing to point out here when we're talking about dessert and those kinds of things, because if you don't have that structure, that framework in place, like you talked about, where you have these designated times for feeding, then you know, giving your child dessert at the beginning may not work well, because giving them the ability to have their dessert at any point during the meal is somewhat grounded in this division of responsibility that you mentioned, where they have these set meal times, they're going into each feeding time with some level of hunger. So they're not going into dinner already full because they've been grazing all afternoon, and now you're giving them another dessert, which of course is going to dial their appetite down to where they're not going to want to eat any of the you know, quote, healthy food with that meal. But if you give them their snack early, they go into dinner, they're hungry. That small dessert is not going to take away all of their hunger. They're still going to be hungry, and they're going to want some chicken, and they're going to want some vegetables, and they're going to want some potatoes and those kinds of things. So I think it's important to point out that division of responsibility that you talked about, where it's the what and when is the job of the parent, and then kind of how much and what they want to eat from what's offered being the responsibility of the child. All of that is predicated on this framework that you have in place.
Yeah, and what order the children choose to eat it is fine. Right. I mean, you think to yourself, like, it's no different to if you send your children with a packed lunch, okay? Mm-hmm. And they've basically got everything there, haven't they? They've got their dessert, and so I always say to my children, eat what you want first. If you want to eat your cookie first, that's absolutely fine. If you want, because at the end of the day, you're always going to eat that anyway. Right. So by eating it first, the rest of the food in your box then has value, and you're going to eat until you're nicely satisfied until the next time. And also, if there is that division of responsibility, they also know that they're not going to be given some food 10 minutes after they finish their dinner. They're going to have to wait until the next snack time. But it's important to get that division responsibility into place to enable this, to facilitate this to work. I mean, one thing I would do want to say is that, of course, you know, if your kids aren't so bothered about dessert and you're not offering dessert as a reward for eating dinner, then it's perfectly fine to offer dessert at the end of the meal. My children are a little bit older now, and I would say my 9-year-old is more than happy to eat what he wants on his plate. He knows he doesn't have to finish what is on his plate in order to get dessert, but he will eat as much as he needs to, because he knows he's going to get dessert. He's not going to eat beyond his fullness. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. He knows you're not going to force him to eat a certain amount of chicken before his dessert and that kind
of
thing.
Exactly. With my younger child, though, I must admit that allowing him to have his dessert with his mum, because he bugs me in between. You know, he will come home and he'll be like, "Mummy, I want a biscuit, Mummy." And I'm like, "No, wait till dinner. And then if you want your biscuit, you know, at the same time as having your rest of your dinner, that is fine, but you've got to wait until dinner. You're not going to have it in between."
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
For him, the dessert at any point works quite well. For my elder one, you know, it's he tends to eat after. He does have his dessert after his dinner because he's not so bothered and he knows it's not going to be a reward for eating. Because that's the other thing. If we're giving dessert at the end of a meal as a reward for them eating their dinner, You know, then it gives it an emotional attachment, it puts it on a pedestal. And we need to be thinking, yes, of course, foods do all have very different nutritional values, and some are more beneficial to us, you know, in terms of us feeling good and having energy, etc. But all food should have the same emotional value,
right?
Which is why, to me, you know, offering it at the same time says, hey, that, you know, that cookie is just as good as that, you know, as that plate of broccoli. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And, you know, it's really interesting when you brought up the point about when you send them their lunch and you send everything to school with them in one container. And so they have their dessert and their sandwich or whatever, all at one time, and they can eat it in any order they want when they're at school. What's interesting is a lot of parents say, well, if I give my kid their dessert first, then they're not going to eat the main part of the meal. But what's interesting, and I really hadn't even thought of this until you brought that up. When I would take my lunch to school, or when I would send lunch to school with my kids, they would eat their whole lunch. I would eat my whole lunch. So I would eat the cookie and I would also eat the sandwich. So we're proving that this point actually works as a simple example, using that example of how we send a box lunch with our kids to school, is they do actually eat their sandwich and their cookie. And I have no idea. Well, to be honest, I don't know what order my kids ate theirs in, but I know that I can't remember what I did, cause that was a long time ago, but I know I ate it all. So
yeah.
So it's just kind of an interesting point that you brought up there.
I think the thing is that, and as we know, Jeff, you know, children need structure. They need structure, but they do not need restriction when it comes to food. And also, almost by, you know, saying to children, you are almost not restricting, but you're kind of putting a caveat on having dessert if you're making them have it after their dinner. Does that make sense? And it almost makes them think, you know, then they're eating their dinner and they're probably not enjoying it or valuing. They're not valuing everything else that is on their plate as much as they're looking forward to that cookie. Right. Whereas if they've eaten that cookie, they've got that sweet fix, which is natural for reasons that we don't need to go into today, but maybe another day. You know, then of course, then the rest of the food just becomes, like I've said, it becomes just as important.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And as you were bringing that up, I was thinking of my own way of eating. And when I go to a restaurant, I often get dessert afterward, because when my wife and I don't go out to eat to dinner real often. And so when we do, I eat whatever I want. But I'm usually looking forward to the main part of the meal just as much as the dessert. And so I think that's a good gauge of how, whether you're looking at these foods in an appropriate way. You know, can you view that main course in the same way as you do the dessert? Am I looking forward to the dessert at the end while I'm hurrying and shoveling my way through my chicken and broccoli? Well, no, I'm not. It's just when I'm done, I'm enjoying that main part of the meal. When I'm done, then I'm like, oh yeah, dessert sounds good. I think I'll go ahead and have a dessert also.
And also, well, you got to think, you know, sometimes if you're having, you're always going to have dessert. Okay. If you're a child that loves a dessert, you know, you're always going to have dessert. So if you kind of end up eating up to fullness and then you've still got room for dessert and then it feels uncomfortable, isn't it better to allow them to just have the dessert and then maybe not eat that last potato or that last bit of chicken so that it pushes them beyond fullness? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. And that's a really good, I think that's probably one of the strongest supporting reasons for having that dessert at the beginning, and or at least allowing it, not necessarily always planning it that way. What's interesting,
that's the other thing actually I did want to say. I'm not saying by any means that you should allow, because not everybody has a dessert at every meal.
Right,
I've got to
admit,
we pretty much do in this household because my kids love their dessert, and that's okay. Okay, but I have actually found that because it's funny, you said in the beginning about how obviously I'm coming at this from a very different, because my children are young, but you know, I am still learning, okay? And I've still got my own beliefs that I have to question quite regularly. So I've got to admit, you know, it was quite, I did follow the quite traditional structure of finish everything on your plate, then you can have dessert. Obviously, I am now rethinking that and reestablishing the rules in my house, or the not the rules, but the structure in my house, so to speak. And it's funny that when it was always like, eat your dinner, then have your dessert, the kids always wanted dessert, always. Mm-hmm. Whereas now I've made it a little bit more like, well, you can have your dessert at the beginning if you like, boys. They're not as bothered about having a dessert with every meal, which is really quite nice.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting, yeah. Well, and too, dessert doesn't have to be chocolate cake with, you know, it doesn't have to be a huge, like a sweet thing. It can be a bowl of fruit and yogurt, something just a little bit different. Yeah. And when you start to think of it that way, it really is just similar to vegetables or some other food along with dinner too.
Yeah, and that's a really good point because my son loves apples, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, they love sweets, but they love their fruit and veg as well. I'm really fortunate. But my youngest son, he eats apples like they're going out of fashion. So very often he will start his meal with an apple, and that's his dessert some days, you know?
Yeah.
And same with my other son, he likes his yogurt and his honey, and that will be his dessert. And sometimes they will eat it at the beginning of the meal. Especially with my youngest, he will bug me, like I said, in between meals. So to give him it at the beginning of his meal then means that he's going to eat and enjoy his chicken and his vegetables. And his, does that make sense? So
Well, it's that
same point, but
that point with the apple was really interesting. I was reading a study a while back where they were looking at meal calorie intake. When somebody went into a meal, just went in and ate the meal versus when they had some apple slices prior to the meal, it was like 15 minutes before the meal, I believe, and then ate their meal. And what they actually found out was that by having those few slices of apple prior to the meal and then waiting, you know, just a few minutes before having the meal, the total calorie content between the apple and the meal was actually lower than when you didn't have that apple before. And so it was really interesting how just having that apple helped to start to get the appetite regulating hormones going in the body to start dialing it down. And so not that we're trying to restrict our children's food intake, but this kind of carries over into maybe a strategy that might help us as a parent or as an adult who's working on our own food issues and calorie control issues and portion control issues. Yeah, is that these little tricks like that, having dessert beforehand or having a few slices of apple to start the process off may have that side effect of helping you better regulate your appetite and your overall food intake. And I was even reading another study just this morning where they found that people, and this was adults, so this doesn't really translate to kids, I don't think, because I think some of it has to do with the psychology of what we think about with healthy versus unhealthy foods oftentimes. But they found that when people were served cheesecake from a buffet, served cheesecake, and then they chose their foods going down the line, if they started with the quote-unquote unhealthy, so the dessert type stuff at the beginning first, they tended to make healthier choices down the line versus if they put the healthier stuff first and had the dessert at the end. So it was really interesting, the psychology of that. Now, like I said, that we wouldn't want to apply that to kids because hopefully we can prevent them from developing that. But as adults, we have some of these thoughts ingrained. And so some of these little strategies can be really helpful for our own mindset too.
It's about the emotional attachment that we give to food. That's what it's about. You know, if we neutralize food and make cheesecake just as acceptable and enjoyable as, you know, fruit and vegetables, then it neutralizes it. Okay. And that's what, this is why we often end up, you know, wanting to overeat on foods, you know, on the fun foods, as I call them.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we've given it an emotional attachment. We've put it on this pedestal. And again, like you say, it's psychological.
Yeah.
But I've read a similar study about where if you have fruit at the beginning of your meal, it has that effect as well. But I think and I think it's really, really interesting. And I think it is just about, I guess, looking at all foods as equal emotionally, if that makes sense, even though they are not. We know they're not equal nutritionally. We know that. But if you can see food from a much more neutral perspective and listen to your own body, then you will, for the most part, like my boys do, for the most part, they choose food that they know is going to make them feel good and give them energy, okay? And then obviously the other food that is more, I guess, more calorie dense than nutrient dense, mm-hmm. is good. They enjoy it just as much, but they also know what's going to make them feel good and give them energy, et cetera, if that makes
sense. Absolutely. I think that's a great way to look at that. So do you have any final thoughts on this particular topic?
No, I think it opens up to lots of other questions and debates that we could mm-hmm. have. But no, I think, I do think that I have kind of covered. And I think it's going to be difficult for some people that have, come from the backgrounds that we've come from even, and, to kind of get their heads around it, How would that work? But I think once you start to understand, and maybe this is something we need to discuss in the next podcast, once you can begin to understand that division of responsibility, it makes sense.
Yeah. And I think that point you made where you kind of laid out how you all do your feeding, I think that's probably one of the best things as far as a takeaway from the episode today, as far as what can parents start to do to start making some progress in the right direction when it comes to this concept around dessert, for example. And I think that using that model that you laid out there, where you have breakfast and a snack and lunch and a snack and dinner and then a snack or whatever fits well within your family, some kind of structured feeding times where the kids know what's expected. They know that they're going to have a meal soon, so they don't have to worry about, well, I'm so hungry, when am I going to eat again? Those kinds of things. I think that is a great place to start. Would you agree for parents as far as kind of where to go if they're really struggling in this area? I think just getting that structure in place, nothing else, not even worrying about what they're eating, not trying to get them to eat more vegetables, change nothing other than just get into a schedule if you don't have one. Because I have to say, when my kids were young, I was working two jobs, probably 80 or 90 hours a week between the two of them. And we were always running around everywhere. We just ate. I couldn't even tell you. We just were eating whenever, whatever, drive-through, fast food, just, gas station for snacks, whatever it was. It was just a free for all, and developed very poor eating habits over the course of that time. And so, just that simple thing of getting some kind of structure in place could be really beneficial.
Yeah, and I think we should talk about that more.
Definitely.
Because I've got some tips around that as well. Because, what you just said then about not worrying too much about what you're giving them initially, I think is really important, because it's about establishing the routine first. And it's a premise, to be honest with you, that I use with my adult clients as well. Mm-hmm. Worry about the structure and the routine and the regularity before focusing on the but we can talk about that. I think
absolutely,
lots of things that we could discuss on that topic. Mm-hmm. And I mean, another thing as well is that I know, as you know, lots of there are children out there with various different needs, obviously, etc. And I do just think that this also lends itself to that. And it might be difficult to begin with, but I think, you are the parent, you are the person that is supposed to be given that structure. You are the one that is modeling, and, children will, trust me, benefit. You might get a bit resistance. You might get a little bit. I mean, I struggled with it in lockdown. I talked about this on one of my podcasts before. I did struggle with it a bit in lockdown because, it did become a little bit of a free fall. So bringing back the structure was quite difficult, but maybe we can touch on this next time, because I know we've been talking for quite a while.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
All right. Well, we just want to thank you all for listening. We're going to be putting some links in the show notes for this episode, so you can reach both of us on social media as well as email. And we'd love to hear from you if you have any questions that you'd like us to address in some 30-minute, 20-minute detail, kind of like what we did today. We'd love to hear those things, because that's exactly what we're hoping to do, whether that's with child nutrition, with your own nutrition, or kind of the whole family as a whole. So we would love to do that and help you all out in that area.
And if you've got any experiences as well that you'd like to share, that'd be great, because we'd love to share them with other people as well.
Absolutely.
or any scenarios, you know, we could unpick some scenarios. But yes, yeah, thank you. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
Yeah. Bye.